Reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law, until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven. I tell you, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said of your ancestors, 'You shall not kill. Whoever kills will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment, and whoever says to his brother, 'Raca,' will be answerable to the Sanhedrin, and whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to fiery Gehenna. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there recall your brother has anything against you, leave your gift there at the altar. Go first and be reconciled with your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Settle with your opponent quickly while on the way to court. Otherwise, your opponent will hand you over to the judge, and the judge will hand you over to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Amen, I say to you, you will not be released until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you, anyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body thrown into Gehenna. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than to have your whole body go into Gehenna. It was also said, 'Whoever divorces his wife must give her a bill of divorce.' But I say to you, whoever divorces his wife, unless the marriage is unlawful, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Do not swear by your head. You cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't know how many times I've had these kind of questions proposed to me, but I usually give the same kind of retort to all of them. And I usually go along the lines of, "Father, do you have to dress like that?" And before I even answer any of that, it is, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to be here. I don't have to do these things. Like, where's my freedom? And then I quickly point out, well, like, who designed your clothes? Like, it's not necessarily something we just like, hey, I invented this and I want to wear it around. And it's like, we live in a culture. Things are supplied. And so, like, our freedom of the choices in front of us. In a lot of ways, that's most especially what our first reading reminds us of, but very much our gospel. Here's the path of discipleship the Lord lays in front of us. And it's like, well, do we have to do these things? Well, it's like, well, we don't have to do anything. You know, and that phrase I actually stole from somebody. So there was my spiritual director, who was a retired bishop of Savannah. We were talking about an event, and I used the phrase on him, "Well, Bishop, you have to." And that's about as far as I got. And after that, I stole that phrase. And yes, we exercise our freedom in these choices. But so often I would say, like, freedom becomes a stumbling block. That we live in a country that prides ourselves on freedom, this ability to make choices. But yet, how much actual freedom do we have? Well, there's the need to eat, the need to breathe, the drink water. It's like, yes, like we can navigate choices, but I don't get to change the fundamental nature of the question. And this kind of conundrum falls into, I would say, theological questions that I would say is kind of thrown out from maybe somebody from an agnostic or an atheist perspective. Of like, well, if God is all freedom, well, then why is there evil in the world? You know, it's like, if God is all love, then like, where are these things coming from? Like, how is this fair? Because if he's establishing even the very nature of the questions that we're trying to navigate through. And so this gift of freedom, I would say very quickly turns into a burden of freedom, of having to make these choices. But our first reading from the book of Sirach reminds us fundamentally, wherever we're standing, we have a fundamental choice in front of us, the way of life and the way of death. And that whatever we reach our hand out to, the Lord will give us. And I love the simplicity of that, in that it is heaven all the way to heaven, and it is hell all the way to hell. What is given to us? That pursuing the Lord, encountering the Lord, living our life in the Spirit, like that's the gift that I want. And yet that very encounter is the destination, that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, that he is all of these things, so that I encounter Jesus and then I follow him, and it becomes an ongoing, ever encountering the Lord ever deeper in my life. And then there is the flirting with the way of death, the way of evil, darkness. Like those options are still there. And the temptations come. And like, well, I can just divert my gaze. But yet how intensely the Lord reminds us of the life that he's calling us to. And so the using our freedom in navigating these choices, that where we're standing, there's our choices in front of us. The way of life and the way of death. And that these are not definitive choices. But I would say it's enough to take a step. And then there's the choice again, to keep following along that journey. And if here's the Holy Spirit showing up in my life and I take a step to follow him, like how much joy, how much peace, how much love, the fruit of the Spirit that shows up there, the consoling presence of what the Lord gives us. And then comes the, yeah, but I don't know if this is really what I want. Like, how do you know if you're going to be happy with the job that is on the far end of your major? Well, how do you know what life is going to be like if you marry this person? How do you know you're going to like the children that are born to you? These are not really in our control. Yet there comes the very same choice when they're actually faced with us, to be able to enter into that. But I would say one of the biggest stumbling blocks that I find in my own freedom, maybe you find it too, is what St. Paul talks about in our second reading. That what we profess isn't a wisdom of the world. It is the wisdom of the cross. That the way of following Jesus, the way to heaven, looks like being crucified. The dying to self. I don't know if that's really what I want. Because at first impressions, and even in times of suffering, it's like, is this truly worth it? Like, where am I experiencing the resurrection that faith tells me is waiting for me on the far side? That this is the good that I long for, but in the midst of seeing only the cross, only suffering, like, is this truly the place to enter into? And so the God who gives us these two ways, here's the way of life, the way of my commandments, the way of entering into the identity and the way of living that he created us to be, to receive his very gift of life. And then all of the other options that we can come up with, which is all net gain, the same thing. To enter into that. And why does the Lord give us this option, this gift of freedom? And I would say this, in my experience, this becomes a stumbling block when we separate love from freedom. When these two become two separate concepts, that I can use my freedom for things, for possibilities, for potential, as opposed to love that requires freedom to be the choice, to open my heart, to be able to move in this way. That we were given this capacity for freedom when God created the human race, because it is part of the very capacity to love. And that we like to reduce our freedom into license. This is a phrase St. Paul wisely gives us in our second reading. That it wasn't for freedom, but that we use it for license. Like, here's my ability to make my own decisions, to create my own destiny, to pursue my own goods of what I think is good for me. And using it as being the God of our own universe. And our freedom becomes an exercise in license. And so often a phrase John Paul II would use is that our freedom is for love. That our freedom becomes the true freedom when we use it to love. And that God, who gives us the ability to say no to him, has given us the ability not to love him. Because if we didn't have that choice, well, then to love him wouldn't mean anything either. If you can't say no, then whatever you are doing is not love. That there is a space where we can be separated from the Lord to enter into evil. That it is an option, is an act of being loved by the Lord. That we have the ability to say no. And that he respects that gift of freedom, is already his love for us. And then to enter into our freedom, to love in return. And that this is the choice. This is what our gift of freedom is for. To see the Lord who allows himself to be rejected, that pulls away from us if we tell him. So wherever we're standing, the option to love. And that here is the fulfillment of the law. That none of the smallest part of a letter of the law will pass away until everything is fulfilled. To enter into it by that fundamental choice to love. And the love that comes with suffering. The love that is the way of the cross. The love that is the love of Christ. To take that small step, to follow that on its journey, is to live in heaven all the way to heaven.